Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Money FM 89.3, good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle. I'm Elliot Danker. It is now time for The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang. Ryan, the theme for this morning is TTO. Tech sell-off, traffic jam, and oil prices.
Yeah, quite a bit to digest, of course. Overnight, we had the NASDAQ down 2%, the underperformer on Wall Street. So that rotation story continues there. And on top of that, investors will have to digest what's going on far away from here in Asia. We've got the Suez Canal traffic jam, a huge container ship stuck and really threatening to derail any ships there. So there's now a huge backlog of ships, and that could have implications for oil prices as well as exporting countries. All that in the bigger picture of Shane Oliver. He's the head of investment strategy and chief economist at AMP Capital. Morning, Shane. How are you doing?
Good morning, Ron. How are you?
I'm doing well. Hey, Shane, let's get into what's going on in the markets. And we had a bit of a tech sell-off, and that's interesting. Even though bond yields appear to be behaving themselves, we actually saw bond yields down 3 basis points to 1.62%. What's going on here? Why is there still such a strong reaction in tech?
That's a good question. I must admit it was a little bit surprising that bond yields actually came off a couple of basis points and yet tech remained under pressure. It could just be a little phenomenon that investors still anticipate the US economy will continue to recover. The PMI, for example, the business survey released overnight, is consistent with that. And that would be consistent, I think, over time with a further rise probably in bond yields, continuing to put pressure on tech stocks at the same time that the reopening in the economy continues to benefit the profit growth of cyclical companies that were the key losers from the pandemic. So the rotation continues.
Yeah, the interesting thing as well is what's happening in Hong Kong and Chinese markets. In fact, if you look at what's happening in the Hang Seng, that was down 2%, and that brings it into correction territory. So I'm wondering, is this a reflection of how stimulus is being pulled back in China and maybe a sign that investors should look elsewhere, maybe US markets where there's going to be more stimulus?
Well, that's right. I think the feeling is in China that the stimulus is being slowed down or wound back, whereas in the US, the stimulus is being ramped up, not so much on the monetary front anymore, but particularly on the fiscal front. And so in a relative sense, you may see a rotation. Last year, Chinese shares were a key global outperformer. This year, they looks like they're going to be an underperformer, and US may benefit from that to some degree. That said, I think in a broader sense, the US, relative to other developed country markets, was an outperformer last year, even though it underperformed China. So I'd tend to favour other markets than the US, and I think Europe ultimately will end up doing better. And cyclical markets like the Australian share market, although it hasn't been doing so well lately.
Okay, so maybe Europe and Australia could be interesting to watch. And of course, nobody likes being stuck in a traffic jam, and there's a major one in the Suez Canal right now. So this is the shortcut that ships take from Europe to Asia, cutting through the African continent. Otherwise, you have to go one big round that takes more than a week or so. So what's happening here is you now have a traffic jam. What's the implications here for export-sensitive Asian markets? Is that going to have a big impact?
Look, to be honest with you, it doesn't impact Asia a lot, but it does still impact. Roughly 12 to 13% of world trade flows through the Suez Canal, and some of those goods would be destined to Asia and vice versa with goods going back the other way. So it will have an impact. I guess it all depends on how long it takes to clear the roadblock. Back in the late 60s, I think it was early 70s, there was the thing was blocked for years with ships rusting in it. Hopefully it won't take this long this time, and it does appear that they're quite intent on getting this ship unblocked. So I suspect whichever way you cut it, they'll get it out of the way, even if it doesn't involve unloading some of the containers from it. But so therefore I suspect that it's probably only going to be a matter of days or weeks before they get it out of the way. But nevertheless, it does add to those supply chain disruptions we're seeing around the world, and that to some degree is contributing to a short-term bounce in inflation.
Yeah, talking about impact, Shane, what's happening with oil prices? Because with reaction to what's happening in the Suez Canal, the the traffic jam. You've got oil prices up almost 6%. So we've got an OPEC Plus meeting next week. So how does this play into their decision whether to continue the output cuts or whether to raise it?
Look, to be honest with you, I reckon, indications recently that they're going to continue with their discipline and maintain the output cuts. But I suspect that the discipline will start to fray as prices get higher. And some of them, particularly Russia and even Saudi Arabia, but others might take advantage of the higher prices to increase output. So that's something which could come in the weeks and months ahead if it doesn't come at that next meeting. The oil price, despite that bounce we saw overnight, is still below its recent high, which was around $66. So it's still below that. But I think as prices get up to higher and higher levels, it does call into question whether OPEC plus discipline will be retained, and I suspect that it won't be. So therefore, we are likely getting fairly close to the peak in the oil price.
Talking about peaks, here's one that we talk about: Bitcoin. Tesla has announced that it will be accepting Bitcoin for its cars. Is that going to pave the way for more companies to follow suit? And of course, with that, how much more attractive is that as an investment opportunity, noting that Bitcoin is up 80% year-to-date?
Well, if you're a Bitcoin fan, then it gets you really excited, as the announcements. I think this was foreshadowed a month or so ago by Tesla. And, of course, now they're formalising it. It gets people really excited. It just adds to the enthusiasm around Bitcoin. I don't think it had a big impact overnight, though, because it was perhaps seen as a bit of old news in some ways. But if you're a skeptic, you sort of think, well, why would I bother to pay for a car with Bitcoin? It's highly volatile. So if I make a down payment on my Tesla and then agree to pay in US dollars, because don't forget the price is still in US dollars, if the value of Bitcoin changes dramatically over the next few weeks, by which time I've got to make the final payment, I could either lose a lot or gain a lot, or either Tesla could lose a lot or gain a lot. So I think once the volatility and the issue associated with the volatility of Bitcoin becomes clearer, then I think it's going to limit the use of Bitcoin for everyday transactions. To be honest with you, I don't see a lot of people taking up this offer. Obviously, big fans and fanatics of Bitcoin will, but I don't see others doing it a big way. Bitcoin is just too costly. It costs about $30 a transaction. It takes 10 minutes to put the transaction through, so I can't see anyone doing their shopping using Bitcoin. And it's hugely energy efficient. It uses, I think, as much energy up to do one transaction as hundreds of thousands of Visa transactions. So if you're worried about the environment, then Bitcoin's not the way to go. So I'm pretty skeptical about this as to whether it's going to be a full-on transactional currency.
Shane, that's a very good point. Why bother unless it's an incentive or maybe a discount for paying in Bitcoin? We're chatting with Shane Oliver.
Right.
He's the Head of Investment Strategy and Chief Economist at AMP Capital. Shane, always great chatting with you. We'll catch up with you next time.
That'd be great. Take care, Ron.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.